One of the things that I just wanted to point out to you is on the top of the page is my contact information. And I just want to say from the get-go, if there's anything that I can do when we're finished that could minister to you or be a help for you, then I would be glad to do that. I'm a guy that believes in resources, believes in help, and believes in the body of Christ working together. And so if anything I can do, I'm also a guy that travels a lot, so probably the easiest way is my email is there, and you're welcome to contact me that way or on social media or whatever. Also there is a website that's my website for my ministry. I'll tell you a little bit about this in a little bit. One of the things that God has allowed me to do is to be a writer. I have written 12 books, and we're going to talk about one of them tonight as a little bit. But one of those books is entitled Going Unforgot. And so if you want to stay up with my ministry or my schedule or know more about that, then goingonforgot.com, and I think .org works as well. But that's the website for my ministry as well. I live in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, not too far away from here. And we've lived there. My wife and I have lived there for about 30 years. I grew up in Montrose, Pennsylvania, which is not too far from here. And so this is home territory for me. I'm a Northeast Pennsylvania boy. My dad's side of the family has lived here in Northeastern Pennsylvania. In fact, my mom and my dad's side of the family have lived in Northeastern Pennsylvania. My daughter, I'll tell you more about her in a minute, did the Ancestry.com thing. And we found out that Walkers lived in the United States and settled in Northeastern Pennsylvania about the 1700s. That's about the time of the Revolutionary War. So I'm from, and I just spilled my water, I'm from a long line of people that never went anywhere, and so that's kind of how it is in Northeastern Pennsylvania, and my family has been here a long time. So this is like home turf for me. My wife's name is Peggy. She couldn't come this weekend. She had a choice of coming with me this weekend or staying home and taking care of our grandchildren. So she's home. And it's like I could hang out with Mel or take care of kids, and the kids won. But Peggy and I have been married this summer for 44 years. Thank you. Which is kind of amazing. We got married on Friday the 13th. We did. Peggy is from Iowa. We met in college. And tornadoes hit down all over town, but we didn't care. We got married. And Friday the 13th, and that was this summer, will be 44 years ago. Peggy and I have three children. And I'm going to tell you as I get started, a little Mel Walker trivia to get started. Our oldest kid is a daughter, which her name is Christy, which is really kind of amazing. Christy is a, and I'll tell you about why in a second. Christy is a missionary in Berlin, Germany. She's single. She's lived in Berlin for about, this is, I think, 16 years. She actually lives in a suburb of Berlin. She actually lives in what used to be East Germany. She lives behind the old Iron Curtain. Probably 30, 40 yards behind her apartment is a bike path that used to be the Berlin Wall that literally they would shoot people trying to escape communism after World War II. Christy is a youth worker, and she works with kids in Berlin, Germany, from all over the world. I mean, countries that are closed to American missionaries, and because she ministers there, Crossway International Church, which is in the old American sector of Berlin. So I'm pretty proud of my daughter. Here's the trivia part. Christy is the first girl in my side of the family in five generations. For whatever reason, there were no Walker girls. My grandpa Walker, and he grew up, I mean, he lived for, you know, his whole life basically here in Northeast Pennsylvania. Well, but my grandpa Walker was one of 13 boys, all boys. No wonder, ladies, no wonder my grandma quit. I'm not getting a girl. So after 13, she quit. My grandma Walker married one of them. This is long before my time, long before I was even thought of. And he passed away early. And so she married his brother. Like, why not? There's 12 more coming. And it's folks, it's still a little weird. I go to the cemetery in Montrose where my family is buried, and here's Grandma Walker's grave, and Walker number one on one side and Walker number two on the other side, and somewhere, who knows, there's 11 more of them somewhere. So, yeah, my dad's generation is all boys. I only have brothers. I have an older brother, and I have a younger brother. My older brother had only boys. I was a youth pastor in Michigan at the time, and when Christy was born, and I have told her entire life, that the doctor said one phrase to me that has changed my life forever. The phrase was, it's a girl. I didn't know what to do with girls. I thought for sure I'd break her. And if you knew anything about our relationship, I probably tried over the years. But I remember I called home and I said, Dad, it's a girl. He fainted. And I say all of that, the Mel Walker trivia thing, to say this. And if you're a parent, you'll understand. And that is, folks, one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do is go to the airport and say goodbye to my little girl. I just told you the five-generation thing, right? To say goodbye to my little girl when she got on the airplane 16 years ago and had moved all of her stuff and moved to Berlin, Germany. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do. But if I'm going to travel around the country and tell other people's kids to do the will of God, it better be okay for me, or I'd be a hypocrite at the top of my lungs, right? And it is hard. It really is hard to be able to just say goodbye to my daughter, single, and as she moved to Berlin, and that's been 16 years ago. But hey, it's all good, too, because I get to take vacations in Europe. How about that? That's a good deal. And I got to tell you, driving on the Autobahn is a blast. Yeah, it's a blast. I was there last time, and my wife and I and our daughter were going to take this little trip, and so we were going to rent a car. And if you're a German, I apologize. I do. I don't mean to pick on Germans necessarily, but we went to rent a car. And Germans always sound grouchy. And the lady looks at me, the lady behind the rental car counter, looked at me and said something in German, real grouchy, and left. And I said, well, Christy, what'd she say? And she said, this guy's big. He needs an upgrade. Well, it ended up being a BMW. And I got to tell you, driving a Beamer on the Autobahn is a blast. I got to tell you. You can drive as fast as you dare and get out of the way because somebody's got a better car than you. And so, yeah, so I'm thankful for my daughter. Her name's Christy. And she's a missionary in Berlin, Germany. In the Walker tradition, I have two boys. My oldest son, Todd, also lives in Clark Summit. He is a pastor. In fact, my son, this is probably weird. This is probably, no one would probably write a book about this. My son is my pastor, and I'm the youth pastor in the church. Sometimes it's the other way around, but my son is the lead pastor at our church. I'm the youth pastor at Wyoming Valley Church in Wooksbury, and my son Todd is our pastor. Todd and Janine, they have six children, and out of the six, two of them are little girls, but two of them are also identical twin boys. They're 5 years old, Titus and Levi, and it's kind of funny because they're built and they look like me, and so like I'll take them to the mall or somewhere, and people will laugh because they know I'm grandpa, and yet the boys, they look just like me. So I'm molding them into the image of Mel. I just want you to know. And then my youngest son, Travis, is a youth pastor in Ankeny, Iowa. And they have three children, and two of them are girls. So out of our nine grandchildren, four of them are little girls. So somehow we broke the genetic code for girls, and there are four little girls. And I don't know what it is about girls. You can tell I don't know a whole lot about them. But those little girls know. They know. They know they can get anything they want from grandpa. They know. I have a Jeep Grand Cherokee. My granddaughters were talking to me about that someday. So, that's a little bit about our family, about my background. I've been a college administrator. I've been a college professor. I'm a writer. I've been an editor. I've been a youth pastor. And, I love the opportunity to come and be here this weekend. And so we'll get to know each other more throughout the weekend. But, here's the theme verse. that you have on your notes and that Reed and the camp put in our all of the promotional brochures about the theme of thaw. And it makes sense that a spring, basically spring retreat, would have the idea of thaw out from cold winter, although it hasn't been real cold this winter. But the text is talking about our hearts. I will give you a new heart, God said, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. In other words, God's saying there that he will thaw out our hearts. And so this weekend, I want to talk with you about heart. Heart. Now, I know in our language and in our background, we're used to the heart, the thing that beats inside and keeps us alive, keeps the blood flowing and all of that. And that's really not what the Bible's talking about. You have it there on your notes, that when the Bible uses the word heart, really God is saying that that's the center or the hub of your inner person. It's the hub, it's the center, it's the control panel, if you will. In fact, I don't know if you're aware of this, the concept of heart in the Bible, your inner person, is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible. Your heart, the center of your being, is really, 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 really important to God. That is where you make spiritual decisions. That is where you, where God works in your life, is in your heart, and all of those things. And so God wants to work in our hearts. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that this weekend. In fact, there is a theme that goes throughout Scripture in Deuteronomy and several other places in Scripture. I just wrote one on the PowerPoint where the Lord said in Mark, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is what God wants us to do, is to love him with everything that we've got. It has to do with being genuine or not hypocritical. It has to be doing real. Everything that we are comes out of our heart. And so this weekend in my sessions, tonight and then tomorrow night, and then on Sunday morning, I'm going to talk with you about three aspects of our hearts, of your heart. And tonight I want to talk with you about the idea of a purposed heart. What we're going to do for our Bible study is I'm going to show you three stories, three narratives from the New Testament book of Acts. Acts is a transition book, but it's a story. It's the story of the church. It's the story of how the church began in Acts 2 at Pentecost and how the church spread largely because of persecution. And it spread, and how Acts really is how God fulfilled in the early times, in the early church, his great commission of going into all the world. And Acts 1:8 talks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ultimately the uttermost parts of the world. And so we're going to talk about that. Three stories in the book of Acts. Tonight, if you have your Bibles or your phone or device or whatever, turn with me to Acts chapter 11, if you would. Acts chapter 11. And here's our prayer as we get started. And that is, we're going to pray that this weekend we'll give God the opportunity to change our hearts. That's our prayer. That this weekend thaw, that we'll give God the opportunity to change our hearts. And so that's really our prayer. Again, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 11. And I'm going to take the time to read out loud verses 11. That's actually a typo. Chapter 11, verse 19 down through verse 30, which is the end of the chapter. Okay, just follow along. I'm going to read out loud. Acts 11, and I'm reading from NIV. Acts chapter 11. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution, remember I mentioned this? If you're not a student of the Bible, if you're not familiar with this, the church's new believers, the followers of Christ, were being persecuted, were being martyred, were being killed, and God's people scattered. And so it says there now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen, one of the early followers of Christ, was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, which is where our story takes place tonight, spreading the word among the Jews. Some of them, however, men, says, from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks or to Gentiles also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Verse 21 says, the Lord's hand was on them, was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 22, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. They sent Barnabas. And when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. That's going to be our theme verse. True to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then, verse 25, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Verse 27, during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman Empire. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. Verse 29, the disciples, the followers of Christ, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gift, their offering, to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. As I mentioned, this is going to be our theme verse. Verse 23 says that Barnabas, the guy that they sent down, was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. One other version, the New King James, uses that phrase that he encouraged them with purpose of heart. Purpose of heart. So tonight, you have it on your outline. I'm going to talk with you about five influences that helped these early believers go on for God, which is what this verse talks about. Let me pray, and then we're going to do this quickly, and you're going to have a time where you can talk about some of the things that I talk about with your youth leaders. Let me pray, and we'll ask God's blessing in our Bible study. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray, as we've already prayed, God, I pray that you would use your word in our hearts, the hub, the center of our being. And God, our prayer is that this weekend, these messages would be used by you to change our hearts, change our lives, thaw them out. Help us to not be cold. Help us not to be bitter, but thaw them out so that our hearts can be of flesh, can be pliable and usable for your glory. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that you'd use it in a mighty way in our hearts and our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we talked about all of our hearts, our purpose of heart. Let me just tell you a little bit about what that word, all your heart here, or that word purpose means. It means plan, to make a commitment or an act that will help you achieve a desired result. Okay? Now, let me just give you a simple illustration about that. I'm assuming that some of you here are at least someday thinking, you know, I'd like to go to college someday, right? That's probably a pretty good bet for high school students. I'd like to do that. And so because that's your desired goal, you would purpose your heart that what I do now is going to help me get to that goal, right? So I'm going to get a job, I'm going to save money, I'm going to get good grades, I'm going to become this well-rounded person so that I have a good resume, so that the admissions counselor, you know, is impressed by me and all those kinds of things. Because we have a goal, then we're going to implement those things in our lives. Now, let me tell you something that is a huge burden in my life, which is going to set the stage for what I'm going to talk with you about tonight. I know you know this. I know a lot of the youth leaders know this, and it is a burden probably in a lot of the pastors or a lot of the youth leaders that are here, and I'm just going to spit it out. Did you know that the number one time that people, Christians, followers of Jesus, walk away from God and quit going to church is right after they get done with high school. Statistics say that even youth group kids who were once active in youth group and went to retreats and stuff like that, that when you're out on your own, when you're in college or and you're making decisions on your own, choose to walk away. Well, I just want to share my heart with you. I've been spending probably the last 10 years of my life talking with youth leaders, talking with parents, talking with my family about that. I talked about the book that the website. A few years ago, I wrote this book, which is called Going On for God. I'll just show you that. Going On for God, which is the theme, my website. And I'll tell you again why I wrote that is because I'm a youth pastor. I don't want kids in my youth group to walk away from God that came to the retreats and did all that stuff to then ultimately, when you're on your own, walk away from God. I absolutely don't want that to happen. I told you about my family. All three of my kids are in full-time ministry. I thank God for that. And I'm telling you, it's the grace of God. It's not a Mel and Peggy thing. I thank God for that. But now we have our grandkids. And every day I pray for those little kids that they'll grow up and go on for God. That is incredibly important to me. So that brings us to Thaw Weekend. Here we are at Rock Mountain Bible Camp. I've been praying that for you. I don't want you to be one of those statistics that you come to these things and you hear the messages, but then when you're on your own, you walk away from God. Barnabas was sent by the early church, by Jerusalem church, to Antioch. And he got to Antioch. We're going to talk about this. And he saw what grace had done in people's lives. And he was glad and he encouraged all of them that they should go on with God with all their heart. And so what I'm hoping this weekend is that God works in your heart and that maybe, just maybe, that you'll look back someday on this retreat or on your time in youth group or your time with your family or whatever it is in your life and say, that was the time in my life that I purposed, that's going to be my goal, to go on for God. I purposed. That's what my goal is. And so I'm going to build into my life the things that will help me achieve that end. Does that make sense? So that's my goal. That's what I want to talk with you about in all three of our sessions. That because that's our purpose in our life, that's our goal, is that I want to be one of those people. And I'm just shooting straight with you. I'm being incredibly personal tonight. I'm just shooting straight with you. That's my goal for you. That's been my prayer. I don't want it to be like, okay, you come to a retreat, we play games or hang around with kids you know and get to meet kids you don't know and all right, and then it's over. That I believe that God is at work in our lives, and that's what I've been praying. God is at work in our hearts, and students and youth leaders alike. I want God to be at work in your heart. So what I want to do in the next few minutes, we're going to do this rapid fire, because I'm going to come back and talk to you tomorrow night and Sunday morning, and we can finish up. But I'm going to talk with you about five influences that were on these people. Barnabas got there and he encouraged everybody, encouraged that they would go on with God with all their heart. And so I think that there were five influences that helped these people do that. And all you have in your notes are little fill in the blanks. I mean, this isn't all that hard. The outline's going to be on the PowerPoint. You can just jot them down, but maybe later take more of an opportunity to study them through on your own or whatever. So number one is I want you to understand that in this passage, this is a passage about the church. About the church. This started, I read it to you. This started with the Jerusalem church, verse 22, sending Barnabas to the Antioch church. The Antioch church is mentioned specifically the next chapter, in chapter 13, the church. Folks, let me just tell you something. The church is God's idea. This isn't just something that man made up and that we can be a part of it if we want or if we don't want. This is God's idea. God said in Matthew, I will build my church. and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. It's God's idea. It's God's plan. And students, I'm just going to say this emphatically as I know how. God wants you to be involved in church. God never intended, you can read through the Bible on your own, God never intended for Christians to be individual players. It's a team sport. It really is. God intended all the way back from the nation of Israel for his children, his followers, to be a part of a community. And church is really, 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 really important. I grew up in a home like that. My parents were not ministry people. My dad never finished high school because of World War II. But for some reason, my mom and dad loved church, loved our church. And we were that family that every time the church doors were open, we went. People, I'll tell you something. There is no way I could do homework on Sundays. We were going to church. There's no way that I could work on Sundays. We were going to church. There's no way that we could do that. That was my family. That was a rule. That was a conviction. And looking back, I'm very, very thankful for that priority in my parents' life. I mean, I'm very, very thankful for that. The church. And I think we need to understand that, and we'll talk about this more tonight and tomorrow morning, that the church is more than just showing up on Sunday morning or more than just showing up on youth group night. I'm a writer. I've written a lot of things, and I've been writing a lot of articles. And one of the things, maybe because of this weekend, is God has put a growing burden on my heart. I'm serious about why and how the church, the local church, your local church, is important. I think, number one, it's important for you to go to church, number one, because they preach the Bible there. We're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But that is incredibly important. You know, it's the Word of God that changes people's lives, that changes your heart. God never intended the Bible to be like math, facts and figures, and, you know, have all this rote knowledge. God intended his word to change your life, to make you more Christ-like. I think another reason to go to church, and this is one of the reasons why I love retreats, I love coming to camp, this is it. Because there's other Christian kids here. Peers, godly Christian peers, are another huge reason why you should be in church. One of the most important things that any believer can do is find other people who love God and want to make a stand for God too. The church is there. I'll tell you another one. I think we're going to talk about this in just a second, so I'll skip over this quickly. But I think one of the reasons that church is so important is because there's godly mentors there. I think you ought to thank God for those youth leaders that came with you this weekend, that gave of their time, gave of their energy, gave of their families to come. Mentors. Godly adults who care about kids. That's amazing to me, and I want to be that kind of person. I think another one is in the church is where we learn to serve God. We'll talk about that one more in just a minute. I thank God that the scriptures are filled. Don't just show up, serve. Students, find a place where you can get plugged in. If you're a believer, you have spiritual gifts. You can get plugged in and serve God. And you don't have to wait till you grow up someday. Develop a habit of service in your church. But I think another one is outreach, that God intended evangelism to be a part, discipleship to be a part of the church program. And so you read this passage, and that's really, really important. Students, when you go off to college or when you go off on your own, find a good church. One of the things you'll realize about Acts is there's a bunch of different churches. And probably that's true in your town. There's a bunch of different churches. And that's okay. Find a church where you fit and then be faithful to God in your church. That's really, really, really important. Number two, a second influence, and I talked about this a little bit before, is the influence of godly mentors. I wrote a little book on mentoring. It's something that I really believe in, the idea of mentoring, and that is just sharing your life. I think mentoring leaders, I think mentoring is different than discipleship. But I think mentoring is just sharing, is do what you do. Just do it with somebody younger. I think that's the idea of Titus 2, for instance, in Scripture. I love the fact that the church sent Barnabas there. The church sent Barnabas. If you'll look at Acts chapter 4, I think it's verse 36, it tells us that Barnabas' real name was Joseph. Barnabas was a nickname. The apostles called him Barnabas because Barnabas means son or Mr. Encouragement. And he gets there, I read you the passage, and he encouraged everybody. Students, find somebody like that. Find an adult mentor who can be an encourager, who can help you go on for God. I look back on my life, and I thank God for those people that were a part of my life. I thank God for them. I thank God for a lady by the name of Rosemary Clark, Child Evangelism Fellowship missionary in Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, right here, when I was a kid. And Rosemary Clark is one that shared the gospel. I came to Christ when I was 5 years old. I thank God for her. I thank God for a man by the name of Mr. Williams. When I was a kid, Mr. Williams was my junior high boys' Sunday school teacher. I thought he was the oldest and grouchiest man I'd ever met in my life. Mr. Williams, he started class. I don't even know why I remember this. Junior high boys. And he started class. The first thing he said every single Sunday morning all of those years was now to get everybody's attention. He'd say, now boys and girls. And it was junior high boys. To this day, I don't know if he didn't know or if he was picking on us. I don't know. I would go home. I know you would never do this. I would go home and complain about Mr. Williams to my dad. And I said, Dad, Mr. Williams has this weird habit that when he starts class, he says, and my dad said, he starts class by saying, now, boys and girls. And he did it every week, so it became this habit. And I'm like, Dad, you know, like what gives when my dad starts to nod? My dad was 29 years old when I was born. And my dad starts to nod, and my dad said, Mr. Williams was my junior high boy Sunday school teacher, too. Mr. Williams taught junior high boys in my home church for that entire time. That entire time. Faithful over the long haul, generation after generation. You'll meet him someday. He's in heaven. You'll meet him in heaven. He'll be in the front row, junior high boys for all those years, with guys like Mel Walker in the youth group. He deserves to be in the front row, don't you think? Godly mentors. I look back in my life, and I thank God for that. There's a story in this passage that I want to highlight, and I'm going to do this quickly. Sometime you could study it on your own. Great things are happening. God is working in people's hearts. I told you about that. God is changing people's hearts. People are coming to Christ. It's amazing. But look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And the beginning of verse 26 says, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. That's amazing to me that all of this good stuff was happening and Barnabas leaves Antioch to go for Tarsus, to go to Tarsus. You've got to realize that was long before the days of GPS. That was long before the days of a phone or anything like that. I mean, this was required. This would require a huge commitment. And he said, the guy we need here is Saul. It's ultimately to become the Apostle Paul. The guy that we need here is Saul. He's that guy. And he went to Tarsus. And the language there says, and when he found him, the idea implies this huge effort and search. And he found him and brought him back. And they got plugged in and started teaching God's people. And that's really a perfect example of mentoring. You know, the guy we need here is this guy. And so I already told you, students, find a mentor, an adult. Not necessarily your parents. A friend of mine, Chap Clark, who teaches, maybe he's one of the best, the most well-known youth ministry educator in the country, has said that every student needs to have five strong relationships with five other adults other than their mom and dad. So find people like that. Find people like that who can encourage you. And Barnabas went to Tarsus, where Paul was from, And he found Saul and brought him back, and they got plugged in. And so here's the other part of that equation. Man, as you get older, be a mentor. Look for those little kids in your church. Do you realize, I don't know if you ever thought about that. There are little kids in your church who idolize you. They think the ultimate of all lifetime is being a teenager. And you could have an incredible impact just by encouraging them like Saul, like Barnabas did. Encourage them to go on for God. That's really what he did. Number three, the third influence in this passage, and I've talked to you about that already, was the influence of the Word of God. Barnabas went to get Saul, and they came back, and they taught the people for a year. They taught them the Bible. That's what the church is all about, the Word of God. We have got to get beyond the days where youth group is fun and games or entertainment, and I don't believe that's true in your school or in your church because you came here this weekend. But the importance of the Word of God, the world can do fun and games, the world can do activities, but we have the opportunity, the life-changing Word of God, and that's what your church, that's what your youth group is all about, is the Word of God, because God uses His Word to change people's lives. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night some more, how God uses His Word to change people's lives. I thank God for that in my life, in my kids' life. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through. The importance of the Word of God. Spend time every day. Students, if you could build the habit of every day spending time on your own in the Word of God and of making church a priority so that you hear the Word of God because you need it. The Word of God. Number four, the fourth influence in this passage is the influence of ministry. At the end of the story, and I mentioned this already a little bit too, at the end of the story, it tells about how a prophet came from Jerusalem, Agabus, and came and said there's going to be a famine. And it says that each person, as they were able, contributed to this offering. One of the things that it's important for us to understand about the church is God never intended the church just to be a spectator sport. You can go to ball games, you can go to concerts and sit and cheer and all of that. God intended church to be a place where we serve God. If you're a believer, you have God-given spiritual gifts that are designed so that you can serve. And whatever talent, whatever ability, whatever gift you have, get busy. Volunteer, do something. And I would say the thing about gifts is don't worry about figuring it out. Be this kind of person. I'm always looking for people in my church and my youth group that say, I'll do that, who are willing to do anything. I think our culture, you know, we have to be qualified or we have to be good at it or whatever. I think God is honored by people with a heart of willingness to say, I'm willing to serve God. I'm willing to do that. Get plugged in. And maybe even tonight in your youth group, you can talk about ways that you can serve God instead of just being entertained, instead of just saying, well, it's your job to make me have fun. That's not going to happen. That the church is more than that, and it has to be ministry. One more, and I'm done. One more. The final influence here in this passage is the influence of Jesus Christ Himself. The influence of Jesus Christ Himself. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is in this passage. At the end of verse 26, it says this, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They were first called Christians. Up until that time, no one referred to the followers of Jesus as being Christians. You could look up in commentators, in commentaries, and historians, and they will tell you that that phrase, Christian, was a derogatory term. It was given to them by pagans, by unbelievers, because it meant that you are a follower of Christ. You are little Christ. is what it meant. And one of the things I love about this passage is that Barnabas was there. And if you read through Acts, sometime try to read through Acts all the way through without stopping. Barnabas is one of those key figures. He's that uncle encouragement. He's always encouraging people. I love that kind of person and want to build those people into my life. And I want to be that kind of person. Barnabas is that way. But you get done with this story, and no one called the people at Antioch little Barnabases. Nobody called them that. Saul is mentioned in this passage. Barnabas went to get Saul. Saul had this, probably of anybody in the Bible, maybe had the strongest personality. Soon he's renamed Paul and becomes the Apostle Paul and ends up being the guy that wrote most of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, he's that guy that we're going to talk about this tomorrow night. Get off the boat, start preaching. Get beat up, get beaten by rods, preach. I mean, if there's anybody who's bold in their faith, it's Saul, Paul. He went on the first missionary trip ever. I mean, he's that strong personality guy. Barnabas is a strong personality guy. But when they got done, they're there for a year teaching. Nobody called them little Sauls. They called them little Christ. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, were first called Christians at Antioch. We're done, but here's my encouragement about how God can help you purpose your heart. Here it is. Stay close to Jesus. Let Christ change your life. Let Him be your example. Let Him be your model. Mimic Christ. With all that's going on in the world today, my goodness, the last thing anybody needs is another Mel Walker. I think maybe the world needs to see more of Jesus, don't you? And if they can see Jesus in us, yeah, that's not always going to be easy. But if they can see Jesus in us, then maybe we can have more of an impact upon this world. And I think maybe that's the secret, if you will, about going on for God over the long haul, is letting just us staying close to Jesus, because God wants us to have purposed hearts. The purpose is that I want to go on for God over the long haul. I want to be faithful. And so those are some of the influences in his life. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the stories in Acts and the things that you can teach us from this passage about influences, the church, the Bible, mentors, ministry, but also Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help this session this weekend to be part of the process of making us more like your Son, more like Jesus. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as their own personal Savior, God, I pray that you'd work in their lives. Maybe this weekend, bring them, work in their hearts. Maybe this weekend is the time that you bring them to you. God, help us to have purposed hearts. Help us to be followers of Jesus. Help us to stay close to Him. Father, for your glory, for eternity. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.